This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Tala Falava, welcome to Nijan Footy, where we go island hopping across the Pacific, talking all things footy along the way. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me every week is the Cook Island Kazi, Tinidar Arona. T, welcome back for another jam-packed show.
Kia ora, Sammy. It's great to be back. And kia ora to you listening. Talofa lava. Something different, Sammy?
Yeah, I thought I was getting hit up by all the Samoans just saying, mate, is it Nijan footy or is it Tongan footy? So I had to make sure I've got to spread the love around.
Share the love. Share the love. And we'll continue to do that. Is that right? Sharing that love in our next episodes as well.
Yeah, we've got to learn all the different hello and welcomes in all the different languages. So
I love
we'll
it.
See how we go.
But as you mentioned, a great show coming up. We have Shelley Long. She just scored her first try in the NRLW for the North Queensland Cowboys. So looking forward to seeing if she'd done that celebration that I can't wait. She scored.
Not the laptop.
But then also, mate, we have a genuine superstar here on our show today. He's won a premiership, NRL premiership. He's won World Cups. He's won State of Origin series. It is my Cook Island brother, Valentine Holmes.
Holy, when you said genuine superstar, or when you said superstar, I thought you were referring to me. I'm here every week. But when you said genuine, it makes sense. Wow, what a get.
Yes.
That's unreal.
So I want to touch on, sort of ask him about that Queensland Origin series and try and figure out the recipe to success, how they're winning all the time. And remember, he went to have a crack at the NFL.
Yeah, to be honest, you can talk Origin. I want to talk about NFL. I would love to hear that transition because that's, you leave at the top of your career, you win a premiership and you head over. So, wow, it's going to be fascinating to hear his insights.
Looking forward to it.
Moment of the week.
All right, Sam, in the last few weeks, you've left me with the moment of the week and we have finally got you to fill in your role here. Yeah. What is your moment of the week?
On the weekend, I was fortunate enough to MC a Pacific Island function at the West Harbour Rugby Club. In particular, one part of the function just really caught my eye, like literally caught my eye.
Talk to me.
The Māori performance. The Māori boys got up there and they did their haka, which was outstanding. And they all got in their traditional outfit. I believe it's called the piu piu, the traditional feathers, almost like a skirt-like, a bit of cloth that goes around the body. The other boys, you know, they wore undies under their pew pew. You know, they did that one. But the leader of the pack, Paul, he decided to go, I'm going to go all out, all traditional, wear nothing. And as the MC,
nothing.
Boy, there could have been a G-string. I'm not too sure.
I reckon there was a G-string. Paul ain't showing everything.
Well, to be honest, from behind as the MC in that performance, I thought I saw everything.
What were you sitting down?
No, just because the way it was set out, my table was behind all the performances, you know, so I'd introduce them. And then, mate, he was there going, like, you're doing the pukana, getting around, bobbing up and down, up on the toes, squatting down. And I just slowly started moving to the side because, I could almost see what he had for breakfast. And, is that a good moment?
If it's a moment for you, it's a moment for us.
Malo lele, boko hingoa, tāna pulata, and you're listening to Nijan Footy on ABC Australia.
Yes, we're on to the NRL, and all NRL games can be heard on ABC Radio Australia. Usually I come in with, you know, tease top lines or tease terrible lines like last week, but this week,
don't be too hard on yourself, mate. I thought it was actually not bad.
Yeah, I put a little giggle in your on your face. But this week, I'm calling it the race to the finals.
How original!
We've got four games to go.
Take all weekend to come up with that.
What, race to the finals?
It just sounds like Anyway, you do.
If you understand the race that is happening on the NRL ladder, you would understand my title, race to the finals. We have four games left to go in the NRL, and there is, from 6th place to 12th, there is only 4 points in between them.
So what you're telling me, it's a tight contest
in
this race.
And it could come down to for and against. the two games.
Let's get to the games.
Yes, I managed to catch two games and crucial games. Crucial win for the Newcastle Knights, beating the Dolphins 30-28. So before this game, the Knights were sitting ninth. The Knights were sitting ninth. You like that?
I like that.
And they were on a four-game winning streak leading into this game. After this win, they end up jumping to seventh on the ladder. Dolphins needing to win this game to make the finals. Unfortunately, they lost this game. But it was interesting because Wayne Bennett mentioned in the pre-match interview they needed to take care of the fast outside backs of the Newcastle Knights. And where did the Knights' first try come from? The fast outside backs of the Newcastle Knights. So they created that fan shape similar to what Penrith Panthers do, where everyone's tighter infield but a lot deeper. They must have done some video because the Dolphins were just jamming, and it was just a nice quick catch and pass, creating space for the winger Dominic Young to sprint down the sideline and pass back inside to someone who is in great form, Kalyn Ponga, Kiwi Queenslander, Newcastle Knights fullback. He was unreal. He ran for 179 metres. He had one try for himself and two try assists. One try he set up with a bounce pass for Greg Marju.
Flat ball from dummy half for Ponga. Second last play, bursts away. Pass untidy. Still alive though for Marju. It looked like it was forward, but Marju goes in to score in the corner. And the Newcastle Knights get some breathing space on the Dolphins.
Outstanding try. And that game was played over in the Wild Wild West in Perth. So it was a different atmosphere over there, playing at their new stadium over there, which is a beautiful spot there, Perth. Jeez, I missed that place.
Yes, it was a double header. They played before the South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Cronulla Sharks, where the Cronulla Sharks got the job done over the Rabbitohs.
That's a huge upset.
So huge event for the city of Perth. The other game that I kept my eye on was the Canberra Raiders versus the West Tigers. Canberra Raiders won this contest, but after the game, you could see in the Raiders' face just that sign of relief. It was like, ah, finally, like the game's over. We got the 2 points. We probably dodged the bullet. We were meant to win, but it was close. Tigers kept it close. Remember, the Tigers have nothing to lose. Yeah, early on, there was an arm wrestle between the Raiders and the Tigers. Eventually, in the 25th minute, Sebastian Chris scores a try. The Raiders, you know, they always led on the scoreboard, but the Tigers kept it close. David Nofaluma also scored another try for the Tigers, which made it his 100th NRL try for the Tigers, the first ever player to do it. And my player of the match, Cook Islander and Māori Jordan Rapana, huge defensive efforts. He's played at fullback in that game. He was everywhere. He had the most tackle breaks with 9 and a great try assist to Matthew Tomiko.
Raiders on the attack now as it goes from Wolford. Wolford looks for Rapana. Rapana on his outside. Try Raiders just off his shoulder to Tomiko. And Tomiko has scored. Lovely piece of play there by Jordan Rapana.
Another one of my Cook Island brothers.
Old Raps, you know, he had a stint in Union twice. Do you know that? Played in Japan for Panasonic Wild Knights and over at the Western Force. For a number of how many games did he play for both those teams?
I don't know. He must have got bored because now he's back playing in the NRL.
He played none.
So is how good your sport is. Anyway, off to the Queensland Cup. The PNG Hunters, they get the job done 26-22 over the Redcliffe Dolphins at home in Port Moresby. Congratulations to the PNG Hunters. The Hunters are still a slim chance of making the finals now. They've got Black Hawks next week in PNG at Port Moresby, who are one spot above them on the ladder. They'll need at least one of the Falcons, Sea Eagles or Pride, to slip up who are ahead of them.
So the Sea Eagles or the Seagulls?
The Seagulls.
Yeah, nice. I just wanted to make sure.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate that. The Tongan Seagull. Sea Eagle.
Ikaladahi.
There you go. And I heard there was a busy weekend in the rugby.
Yes, the rugby union wrap. Here we go. Huge, huge weekend again. And we're going to start with a huge congratulations to the Flying Fijians, PNC champs 2023. They were outstanding and undefeated. And to take us, you know, just before we start, I'm never going to get sick of hearing this, is the beautiful voices of the Fijians after they won. Yes, congratulations to the Fijians.
Mate, I love that audio.
They were outstanding. I think I've said it the last few weeks that they are the team to beat in terms of the smoky, the dark horse leading into this World Cup. And they proved it again on the weekend against Japan. Now, what I loved about them is the fact that they're putting 80 minutes together. You know, they're not just playing good in patches. They're not good for the first 20 and they die off, or the good first half and can't finish. They are putting a complete 80-minute performance together, and it just showed they're getting off to a fast start. Like, they got out to a 28-0 lead, really quick, and you know, ended up taking the game 35-12 against Japan in Tokyo. But for my liking, you know, they are the pick of the Pacific Island nations. The way they're scoring their tries. You know, that from turnover ball, they go straight in onto the attack, you know, from coast to coast. They're able to, you know, use their forwards to have those nice little interchanges of passes. So you've got big 130, 140 kilo men, you know, holding the ball like a little tennis ball, and then doing the offload over the head, around the back, slight interchanges. Then they're just having finishes, absolutely just scoring, running length of the field tries. We also saw Frank Lomani when he came off the bench and played. He scored a double straight away from that type of play from the Fijians, and they're just playing with so much confidence. And you heard it in their voices when they sing like that after a game. It just makes you, you know, stand up and realize, wow, what they've achieved so far. I think there's only great things to come out of Fiji.
Yeah, they definitely got the momentum going into the World Cup. I love hearing you actually talk about the Fijian team. It's like you have a emotional attachment to this country. it's actually beautiful to see and hear.
I know. I wish I should have that same amount of passion and, you know, excitement for our Tongan team. And I do. But over the weekend, I had to listen to Samoans talk about their victory over Tonga. I had to listen to the Kiwis talk about their victory over the Wallabies. I had to listen to Warriors fans as well.
I had to listen to the Waz. Up the Waz.
Up the Waz. Like, you know what I mean? It just, yeah. And then I saw the Maldi guy at the MC. So that was my weekend. But anyway, Tonga versus Samoa over in Samoa at Apia Park. Look, it wasn't... it was probably an epic start with the Sivatau and the Sipitau, like both of those... men coming together and you know, going at the same time. It's not I'm waiting for you, you're waiting for me to finish that Sipitau or the Sivatau. It's like, no, we're just going at the same time and we're just going to belt it out. And just seeing the look on their faces when they're going at each other.
Who won that battle in your opinion?
Oh, man. To be honest, it was even. Oh, I dead set reckon it was even.
Did the cameras get it all? They got
most
of it.
Yeah, they did. I loved about both teams. They just, after they both finished, they stood there staunch. Like, just
not just walked away,
stood there staunch. And I was like, oh, wow, we're on here. But that's sort of where it stopped for the Tongans. With the scoreline being 34-9, with Samoa taking the victory. But look, to be honest, it was a scrappy game for both teams. A lot of errors, a lot of penalties given away from both of them. So it was a real stop-start affair. And as the game went on, though, Samoa found their groove and really got into their flow and showed what they're capable of. I think they had some smart thinking from their halfback with a quick tap to be able to score a try. When Christian Liliuofano, when he came on, he really controlled the game well. They had bodies in motion and they really set up nicely, like to be able to finish and get on the front foot. And Tonga didn't really have those answers because every time they built pressure, you know, they let the foot off the throat and, you know, undid all their good work with a turnover or a penalty. Tonga still have two more games against Canada in Tonga to be able to get their preparations right, and they had a few injuries, so hopefully they'll, like Israel Folau and those type of guys, will be able to come back and add that substance to the team, because their starting 23 is going to be outstanding. So I don't think, even though they didn't get the wins that they wanted during the Pacific Nations Cup, you know, they'll be able to, you know, move forward with a lot of confidence with the players. But Samoa, they've announced their World Cup squad.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, and your cousin is in there.
Yeah, I had a good chat to Limo Sopoanga. He was he's currently in Japan, just getting his family settled in.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's good to see that he was named in the World Cup squad.
Yeah, he's a big inclusion. I think him and Christian Lelefano, they're going to share that role nicely. And it's always going to be pivotal. You know, that game management is so crucial in those big games. So their experience is going to be needed. But Samoa still have one spot left in their squad. And word on the street is, or word from the people who they want in there, can you take a guess who that might be?
SBW.
That would be a great one to have. I think he's just a little bit past it. Well, maybe not. But big Julian Savea, the bus.
Oh, yeah.
There's been calls that he could be eligible. He could be ready to go.
Well, they didn't leave one spot vacant for no reason, so.
That's big news for Samoa, and I think they're going to go well in the World Cup as well. Jeez, I'm excited. It's just around the corner, less than a month away, and we're looking forward to it.
Nisian footy.
Coming off the back of scoring her first try in the NRLW, our superstar, Shelley Long, with the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Thank you, Shelley, as always, for joining us. But we have some audio here to kick us off.
Deep. Oh, beautiful. Running through, untouched. Shelley Long off her halfback, Kira Deeb. That was training run stuff.
Shelley, outstanding. Obviously, you scored. But did you do the post-try celebration, the laptop? Mad suggestion from T to open it up.
I actually didn't. You know what? I was so surprised I got the ball and I got the try, but my knees were aching because I don't know if you've seen it, but I actually knee dive into the ground.
I was about to ask you, your try scoring technique was like you dive with your knees and then you put the ball down and then you left a big divot in the ground. I was like, oh, that would have hurt.
I know. As soon as the game had finished, I literally went over to the physio and the doctor and I said, there's nothing really wrong with me except my knees are a bit sore and I don't know why. And then I watched it back and I was like, my try scoring technique is a bit rusty. But mind you, I never really score tries, so maybe that's why.
There was another big moment that I want to touch on. I was telling the boys this morning that you took one of the toughest carries right in between the starting props. And that stuff, as a middle, that inspires me. Unfortunately, the other two, you know, got their shoulders in. Did that hurt as much as it looked?
It definitely hurt, but I think my thing is that I know I'm a runner and I feel like I seem to find the faces and not the spaces. You know how the coaches say, Shelly, find the spaces, not the faces. And I always do the opposite. And I tell you what, I never learn my lesson. I always seem to do it in every game. I think when I versed the Titans, I also learned my lesson there by running at the biggest people on the field. But I'm hearty, I guess, so I'll do it again in my next game probably.
Hearty is the word.
You should have did my tricks, just fall over early. Don't have to run into them. But anyway.
Can't do that in a rugby league.
Obviously, that was the highlight, scoring a try, beautiful. Can we touch on, I guess, the result, if you don't mind?
Yeah, there's a lot of learning points for us in that game. We knew that the Broncos coming into that game needed a win, and they're a great team. You know, they've had an unlucky last couple of weeks, but they really had the fire in their bellies in that game. I think our starts are definitely something that we've recognised we need to be better at over the last few games. They've really made an impact on our performance, and we've managed to catch up sort of in the back end of the game, but unfortunately that wasn't the case for us. So we'll rebuild and we'll learn from it and we'll go again this weekend.
What about that left centre, Male Hufanga?
Hufanga.
Scoring. Oh. Lucky it wasn't Try July, otherwise she would have ran out of try celebrations, scoring four tries.
She was incredible on their edge. And she was someone that was really hard to tackle. I think she made a massive impact on that left edge of theirs. Definitely the four tries wasn't something we wanted to let in. But, you know, she deserved them. She worked hard and she's powerful and definitely someone hard to tackle.
How happy were you that you were standing on the opposite side of the field?
I was so happy, but she came across at one point and I was like, I've just got to make this tackle on her.
What other results or moments caught your eye in the NRLW round three?
I thought the Roosters did really well against the Dragons. Dragons, unfortunately, went down 30 points to nil, but I don't think the score reflected the game. If you watch the Roosters actually score a couple of tries in the first few minutes, but then the Dragons managed to keep them out. And I thought they did a really good job of that. I think the last few minutes or so of that game, I think maybe the fitness and the fatigue caught in and the Roosters were able to capitalise on that.
The Parramatta-Newcastle game, obviously a big score in that one, but also Kennedy Cherrington with the sin binning. Like, did you catch that?
Yes. So unfortunately, Kennedy Cherrington's been is now going to face a grade 3 charge against judiciary tonight. So she dangerously threw another player onto her head during that game. It's the second send-off that we've seen in NRLW, but let alone this year as well, the second send-off. So definitely it wasn't intentional. When you watch it back, she does look very remorseful for what she has done. But again, the Eels have lost their last three games, so it'll be tough going into next week. You know, they need someone like Kennedy who leads them at the front of the the front of the pack as well.
Yeah, usually after a few rounds early in the competition, teams start to realize which teams are strong, you know, which ones are the weaker ones. Who do you see right now as the informed team in the NRLW?
I think definitely the Roosters, but I think one of the teams that have really caught my attention is the Raiders. I thought that they, the last few weeks, they've put on performances. Now, they have had two home games back-to-back, and I think that really brought out the best in them. But I think that they'll continue to play very well as a team, and they look really strong as well.
Any other news from around the grounds?
Yeah, so I've got some rugby union news, actually.
Oh, here we go. It's about time. Something.
I didn't know that. We were playing.
This thing called a World Cup that happens every 4 years. It's huge in rugby. You wouldn't know about that in league. You have to cancel your one. Not enough funds on seat.
So the Oceania Women's Rugby Combined will be held in August the 21st to the 26th in Fiji. It's the second time that the Oceania Women's Rugby League Combined has allowed 20 players from across Samoa, Tonga and PNG to compete. And there is a chance of 9 scholarships up for grabs to come into the Super W clubs for the 2024 season. So these 20 players were selected based off of their outstanding performances in the Oceania Rugby Women's Championships, which took place earlier in the year on the Gold Coast. So that's exciting news for them. That's exciting news for the Super W to see more Pacific Islander women in the game.
You know what? There's only one downfall to this. There's this beautiful development pathway. They're going to get a contract into Super W and then they're going to hop straight over to Rugby League in the NRLW. So, oh, it's painful. But it's good to see that there's it's good to see that there's a platform and a pathway at that combine, because they did it for the men over there, and we saw the likes of Miracle Failangi that's playing for Samoa as well. They were all part of this combine and were picked up from the islands because of programs. So I think it's wonderful to see.
Actually, I got a question for you. With the rugby union players that have transitioned over to rugby league, how have those players transitioned, or how are they going at the moment?
Killing it.
That you can think of.
I think they're absolutely killing it. Sam just said, Vitalina is someone who has been outstanding for us as Cowboys, as the Cowboys, and she's come from the Fijiana Druas. She's been incredible. She's definitely hard to tackle, runs hard, you know, and I think it's been really good for her to be able to come over to Australia and experience the things here. And she's actually taught us a lot about the Fijian culture, and if you aren't around it, you don't know a lot about it. So for her to be able to teach us, you know, she's practicing English, but we're also learning a lot about her and her culture as well, which has been great to see.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. Love that.
Soon we'll be having the carver sessions at the North Queensland Cowboys NRLW team.
Maybe at the end of the season. Actually, cut that part out.
it's good recovery. Don't worry about it.
I've got Just the last little bit. So the news for rugby league, the World Cup has obviously been announced that it will no longer be held in 2025. It will now be moved to 2026. With that being said, there are a little looks with some changes to happen. Teams in the women's team will stay pretty much. They will not bring in additional teams, which is very interesting to see. Obviously, Fiji have been a team that has been trying to come in, as well as Samoa and Tonga. So that has been quite interesting to see that they will no longer add more teams.
You're right. It is disappointing because there's a big movement in the women's game. It's like in the NRLW, the Pacifica presence is huge. You'd love for the girls, if they had the opportunity to go that one step further and play that representative footy, it would have just lit up, especially being here in Australia where there's a lot of Pacifica presence. But hopefully, yeah, in the next one, there will be something there for them.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think obviously they want to try and increase the amount of games that you can play in the Pacific Series almost styled competition. But I think, you know, when you play at a World Cup, it's a different feeling and it's a very special one as well. And to see other nations be able to come in and play in a World Cup would be incredible for them as well.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's something that we can build on going forward.
Nice. Okay, in that time of the interview where we talk about boys don't know, I've been I'm a bit nervous to ask this question.
Why are you nervous?
I was putting in context. I'm going to go underwear. Yeah, underneath. I wore tights. I had to wear tights. So I had I was chafed up really bad. Eh?
But you wore tights without anything underneath.
Yeah,
the just tights.
Yeah, no undies under
Whereas
the tights.
I wore Speedos and then tights.
Yeah, I just found that too constricting. Too many layers. You got shorts. Are you guys on the Speedo front?
Yeah, I think it. Like you said, Sam, a lot of us get chafed with the actual pants.
Oh, so it's not
some
just
girls,
me. Yeah.
No, you know, we've got the shorts, they're great, but you do get chafed as well. So girls do wear tights, but I generally will wear budgies or like the Speedos type of thing, and then I'll chuck a load of baby powder on my legs as well.
Yeah?
So I don't chafe. Yes,
oh.
So I am a baby powder. I bring the baby powder to the sheds and all the girls take it and we practically use baby powder.
There you go. See?
I wish I'd asked this question about 15 years ago because that would have helped carrying the baby powder with
that's
me.
That's actually smart.
Yeah, why didn't I think of that?
And that's why we ask the questions that boys don't know.
Well.
Once again, Shelley, thank you very much. We're always a pleasure to have you in the show or here on Nijan Footy. So all the best next week.
Thanks, Shelley. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Challenge of the week.
Yes, I'm excited for this challenge of the week. I've already got a grin on my face because we've got the funniest bloke from the Cook Islands. The Cook Island comedian, they reckon, is ready to go. Please keep this smile on my face with the joke.
Mate, I feel like I've been throwing under the bus here. I'm not your funny type, have good chat, but just in terms of like saying jokes, I'm not that guy, but I'll give it a crack.
Here we go. So the challenge is that you have to say the joke. You have to make me smile, laugh, pretty much be in hysterics to be able to say this was a pass or fail for the challenge.
All right, let's go.
Here we go.
So there were three men in a bar having a beer, an Australian man, a Kiwi man, and an Islander man. An attractive lady walks into the bar, and all three men are amazed at her beauty. So the lady walks up to the men and she goes, "If you can put liver and cheese into a sentence, I'll be yours forever." So the Australian man quickly stands up and he goes, "Hey, love, I love liver and cheese." And then the lady goes, "Oh, anyone can say that sentence. Nah, it didn't count." So the Kiwi man stands up. He goes, "Hey, love, I hate liver and cheese." And she goes, "Oh, just like the last sentence didn't count." So the Islander man, he stands up and he looks at the boys and he's like, "Shh, how about it's time to liver alone, cheese man." Yeah. What do you reckon?
Oh, bro, you know what, bro? I will pay that.
Thanks, mate. You know what? I was trying to...
Give me a high five there,
Give
Chip.
Me a big hug.
There we go. Not bad, Chip.
Oh, mate. The nerves that were running through. I'm not good at it. This is why comedians get paid so much.
That's true. I would have loved for you to hit that punchline a little bit harder.
Oh, you're giving me back feedback. You're giving feedback now.
Well, you do it to me all the time, so may as well.
So what do you reckon? Go the punchline a bit hard. Yeah, I kind of lost it when I was there. Yeah.
Well done, bro. Thanks, I think that's a tough ask, you know. It's a tough job, but I think you nailed it.
Well, now it's my turn to challenge you next week. Yeah? And because I had this fun challenge of the week, next week I'm challenging you. You are to create a 16-bar rap and mention Apia, the PNG Kumuls, Kava, and Conrad Harrell. So I've added Samoa, PNG, Fiji, and Tonga. A 16-bar rap. Do you know what 16 bars are?
I've got no idea. What do you mean, 16 bars?
So YouTube it, and I'll tell you. But a bar is like a line. So you want 16 lines with a 16-line rap. With
16 lines?
16-line rap.
Bro, hang on. You can Google a joke and then just read it out, whereas I have to come up with something which takes up more time. I've got two kids.
Who said I Googled that joke?
Mortgage. I've got so many fingers in pies. Joke. I don't have time to come up with 16 bars.
This is Nijan Footy.
All right, today on Nijan Footy, we are honoured to have this man here with us. He's won a NRL Premiership with the Cronulla Sharks. He's won two World Cups for the Australian Kangaroos, three State of Origin series for Queensland, currently playing for the North Queensland Cowboys. We have the one, the only, Valentine Holmes. Big Val.
How you going, boys?
Big Val.
What an intro. Holy.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, I do.
Nah, we're honoured to have you here on Nijan Footy. We've got an audio clip we'd just like to kick off our interview with.
Last tackle, Queensland, right in front of the southern post. Hunt goes right, Cherry Evans, a crossfield kick. Up they go. Goes through the hands of Addo Carr and Ruben Cotter or Holmes. Holmes gets there first, but I don't know that he grounded it. We're going to the bunker.
We have a decision.
So they're saying the ball never left his fingertips and his hand ends up on the football. It is a try to Valentine Holmes and for Queensland in the ninth minute.
So, yeah, that was you scoring that try for Queensland in the State of Origin this series. How does it feel after winning the series for Queensland?
Yeah, well, it was a different way we won, I guess. We won the first one, which was pretty cool down in Adelaide. And then coming back home to Suncorp, to be in a situation where you're playing at home and, you know, we have pretty much the whole 50,000 fans behind you the whole way, and you know, we always seem to play pretty well at Suncorp, and then we got that done there. It was a weird situation. I've never been in a situation where we've almost, you know, done it in the first two games. It's always been most series I've been in, it's always been a decider, or we've kind of been on the other end of losing the first two as well. But yeah, it was pretty special. It was a special camp this year, you know, with obviously the new guys coming in, a lot of fresh young faces, and what Billy Slater had brought in again from last year's series as well.
You mentioned Billy Slater. What a great coach. What is he like going in them Queensland camps? What's he like as a coach?
Lucky enough for me, I've been fortunate enough to play alongside Bill at that level for Queensland and for Australia. Played the first World Cup in 2017 alongside him, and he's exactly the same, you know, as he was when he was a player. He's obviously a pretty, you know, high profile player when he was playing. So he was a pretty big leader in our group. And then, you know, what he does coaching wise with obviously the guys he played alongside with, Smithy, JT, Josh Hannay, you know, Miles, they're pretty much just like one of the boys. You know, you feel comfortable talking to them about anything. He makes that pretty easy as well. Like at the start of camp, whenever everyone comes in, he wants everyone to be, you know, able to talk to any coach. Don't feel nervous going up to anyone. And I think that's what it all is about, especially because you only have 10 days with each other. You want to kind of have that bond almost straight away, so you're not walking around on eggshells, you know, when you're walking in there. And I think that's just something he brings. Like, he has banter, jokes. He puts boys on show at training. You know, he still runs around with us, which is, you know, what you want as your coach, I guess.
You mentioned that they're hands-on coaches, like a rock star personalities, and when they played as opposed to, say, someone like Mao, who obviously he was a great player back in the day, but he's not running around with you guys. Do you guys love that type of coaching where they can get in and amongst it with you to be able to, you know, show how to, what they want rather than just say what they want you to do?
Yeah, definitely. I've kind of noticed and picked up as I've kind of made these teams, a lot of guys learn better from, you know, from doing it and from them showing them, you know, themselves doing it, like visual learners rather than, you know, being told. So the way like Billy, he could probably literally play in another team, still play fullback. He's the way he moves. He's still pretty agile, pretty quick. You know, he was training against us when we were doing defensive stuff on our trial line. He'll be the fullback for the other team, and he would still be able to throw a long ball, still be able to, like, you know, jump in and out, step you. So yeah, to see that and to have a good laugh with, while he's having a serious training, it was pretty special. But yeah, when he spoke about Mal, Mal's different in a way. Like, I guess it's his aura, like what he's done in the game and what he's done as a coach as well. You just want to play for him. You just want to play well for him and not let him down, which is, I guess, the same as Bill.
What about lacing up the boots in the arena of Origin compared to club footy or test footy? Like, what is that actually like? And is it the hardest games that you've ever played?
Like, when I'm just picturing now, like, when I'm literally lacing my boots up before the game, like, you look around and you're around some of the best players, well, the best players, you know, in the NRL. So as nerve-wracking as it is, you know, like, they got your back out there and you got theirs, and you're with some quality players playing against some quality players. So the bigger the occasion, I feel like it's more fun. Like, it is more nerve-wracking. Obviously, there's a lot more people watching, a lot more eyes on you. You know, the game's always sold out, especially at Suncorp. But yeah, it's, you just pinch yourself to think that you're playing alongside some of these guys who will end up being, you know, immortals or greats of the game. Yeah, you just feel comfortable out there and feel like you can do your job.
Away from the field, obviously your Cook Island background, can you explain to us a little bit more about your culture and your connection to culture?
Yeah, so my mum's was born in Cook Islands in Mangaia, a village called Tavaringa. And she was only there, I think maybe she was like 10, and then they all kind of went over to New Zealand, to Auckland. She grew up there. My dad's Kiwi. He was born in Gisborne, Tolaga Bay. So, yeah, they're both pretty much from over there. But, you know, myself, my sister, a year older than me, and then my brother, who's 3 years older than me, were born here, and then my two oldest brothers were born in NZ. We all got New Zealand passports. But I play for Australia. It's a confusing situation. All the boys always, you know, wonder why I've got a New Zealand passport, but I play for Australia and Queensland, and them Australian. But yeah, it's something that mum and dad, I think they were just pretty slack, you know, organising me an Aussie passport. And the Kiwi one actually looks better.
So in 2013 World Cup, we had the opportunity at the Cook Islands to try and take you, and I know our coach at the time, Dave Fairley, thought you were a bit too young. Do you ever see yourself playing for the Cook Islands in the future?
Yeah, definitely. It's something I actually spoke to my family and mum about, and also my family who are still over there, and they're all obviously very proud of you know, what I've done and proud of me, and it's something I would like to give back to. I'm not sure when the next World Cup is, but yeah, if I was still running around, that's probably something I'd like to try and do. If Cook Islands are in the next World Cup, I think I'd like to try and, you know, play for them.
Well, you're only 28. Of course you're going to be still around.
Is he here in Australia too, the next one, after France?
I don't think we are. I think they cut half the teams down, so they're only down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. So I don't think...
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Not even if there is like a game like where they... They're just doing a one-off game somewhere, because I know they do that. Well, they have done it before COVID and stuff, so they're doing that again. It'd be pretty sick to,
I'm gonna
to even that. Learn more about the culture and all that stuff too.
I was going to ask that. A lot of the boys, you know, when they go and play for Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, who aren't exposed to, you know, their culture, you know, from their upbringing, they get a lot of it from being in those camps. Like, what's your... I guess, connection or knowledge towards Cook Island culture? And do you feel like the sport would help you understand it a little bit more?
Yeah, I haven't really been fortunate enough to, you know too much about it. Mum hadn't really kind of taught us too much about it. She was, because she obviously went over pretty young to NZ, she didn't really want us not that she didn't want us learning it or knowing too much about it. I guess she just kind of forgot herself in her ways. My parents are a bit older, but yeah, I think just more so she kind of just forgot about where she kind of come from. But yeah, I guess I've seen, you know, videos of Instagram and when the boys are in camp, you know, learning the Cook Island dances and what it all means, the roots of Cook Islands, and that's something I, you know, would like to try and learn. Well, I do know the Cook Island dances, but you know, all the other stuff.
So you can shake the knees and get pretty low if you were to get caught up for the jersey presentation. Yeah.
No, we used to do that up here in Townsville when we were younger. That's something that Mum always kept, was our traditional Cook Island dancing. There's something called a culture fest up here. Every year we have it once a year. I think it's around October time, where all cultures, you know, come together and just have like a performance, you know, over the weekend. It's something we did every year as kids.
See, that's how he gets his strong calves from, because you have to, before the dance, you have to get up on your tippy toes, but get real low. Yeah. So
it's a bit of a workout, eh?
That's where he gets all his footy talent from, and speed and power, the Cook Island dance. You spoke about being a part of a big family, and I know you've got a young son yourself. Is it something that you're going to look forward to, as passing on your cultural knowledge to your son in the future?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's, yeah, I'd like to try and be better with that, passing on, you know, what I know, and try and learn a bit more to my kids. I'd like to have a few more kids. But yeah, it's something that I think, especially nowadays, it's a big thing, you know, about everyone's culture and learning it, and everyone kind of respecting their cultures. And it's a good thing that's happening around the world. It's something that I want my kids to be part of as well.
Especially being from the island of Mangaia, I know that, you know, usually a lot of Cook Islanders are from Rarotonga or Otutaki, but Mangaia, you never really hear from people from there anyway.
You went over to try out for NFL. You went over there with Jason Tamalolo. Like, what was the thought process for you to wanting to take that leap of faith?
It was something my management had come to me maybe in the middle of 2018, the middle of the year, and had just kind of expressed that a few clubs were interested in myself. And that was at the time Jordan Mailata had gone on that pathway, the international players pathway. And I had actually spoken to him, you know, prior to making my decision, to see how it was and how he enjoyed it and what he learned and if he, you know, thought it was worthwhile trying. And so, like, towards the end of the year, I still remember I was playing against Tonga for Australia. I was playing against Tonga in New Zealand in Auckland. It was their last game of the year. Yeah, just after that game, like, the next night, I was just laying in bed. I was like, I think that was my last game of NRL or, like, the rugby league. And that's when I kind of just made my mind up, made my decision to kind of give it a crack. Because I knew I had one more year left, but, you know, obviously if I could get the release, I felt like I was playing good footy in 2018, but I felt like my body was ready, you know, to try another code, another sport, and challenge myself, you know, mentally, physically, and, you know, just put myself out there to see what I could, you know, achieve or what I could accomplish.
What were some of the challenges that you had to face, you know, during that journey?
Yeah, obviously a bit of the scrutiny of, you know, leaving Sharks. A bit of the media stuff, and I had to let my teammates know and all that stuff. But then, of failure, you know, I think a lot of people were behind me, but I wanted to succeed. I really pushed myself and trained hard and did everything I could to try and really make it. And yeah, obviously we were there for just that one year at in New York, and then I decided to come back. But yeah, I think I gave my best shot, and you know, something I don't regret at all.
Can you pinpoint any moment when you're over there just like thinking, I think I've bitten off more than I can chew here? Like, it's just too much to learn in too short a time.
Yeah, definitely. So the training camp, which is like our preseason here, it's like you get this massive playbook in front of you, and you just got to try and consume all of it. You know, within those, I think it's like a 6-week training camp. And when you get to games, you don't need to know every single play, because each game is like, depending on who you're playing, you know, you have like maybe 25 players that you need to learn out of like the few hundred that you have. So yeah, that was probably the hardest bit, like trying to forget and wash everything I've learned from rugby league and all the calls and codes that we have to something completely different, the way they say it. And because I was playing running back, you have to like know your protection call, as well as if it's a run call, you got to know where you're going, which gap you're going into. But yeah, it was an experience of a lifetime. It was something that, you know, I've always loved watching NFL, played, you know, Madden and stuff. So to be able to actually be there and listen to the quarterback say, listen to the coach, give the instructions to the quarterback, and then go out and do it. It was pretty cool.
So was that the only American football experience you had, was by watching it on TV and also playing it on PlayStation?
Yeah, we don't really have much, you know, American football over here. I don't know that they are starting to play it now, but yeah, I couldn't really play it because I was playing, you know, rugby league. But
when we as outsiders look at the NFL and the how big it is, and obviously a billion-dollar industry, and we look at the players and we just think they are superhuman. When you got into rub shoulders with them, did it feel like that, or did you go, you know what, it's not as hyped up as I probably thought it would be?
No, at first it was pretty like, it was pretty cool, pretty surreal. Like, they really look after you there. You treat like, you know, kings in there, which some guys obviously take it, you know, to their head. That a lot of the defensive players were pretty all about themselves, like pretty arrogant. You know, there's a guy named Jamal Adams who I really like loved, you know, watching him. He was the way he played. He was at Jets at the time I was there, and I still remember I was walking past him in the hallway to go to the cafeteria where we eat. And I said hello to him, and he just literally like ignored me, kept walking. And, like, said nothing to me. I was like, oh, shit.
Were there any other Pacific Islanders in that organisation? And also, were there any players in particular or people that took you under their wing?
Yeah, there was a few Islander boys. Frankie Luvu, who's at Carolina now, North Carolina Panthers. He's actually killing it at the moment. But, yeah, we lived together in the apartments just around the corner from training. He actually took me under his wing as well, because he just seen me as like a young poly boy, you know, trying to make it in the NFL. And they're exactly like the boys here, you know, always stick together, always, you know, one of the boys always put the other boys first before themselves. And yeah, it was pretty special to kind of hang around them.
Oh, it's good to see that's still common no matter what parts of the world you go to, you know, to have that island connection. I want to talk about the hits of the game. Like, you know, obviously in league, you're a star and you make a lot of meters and stuff like that. But like over there in the NFL, what were the hits like, and did you turn a few heads?
Yeah, they were actually pretty surprised with how well I could catch the ball. They thought I'd just drop everything. But that's why towards the end, they ended up moving me to wide receiver, because I could catch better than pretty much half their receivers. I just couldn't like run the routes properly because I was not as well known as how they know the playbook. But hits wise, yeah, because pretty much you got to always turn back to the quarterback to catch the ball, so you can't really, you know, see what's coming. Usually the quarterback will look after you and throw you away from, you know, where the defender's coming, so you have time to kind of get past him. But yeah, I still remember one. I was playing running back at the time, and I got through the line, mad run. It was probably like 20 yards to the end zone, and I was running to the corner because you don't need to put the ball there. You just got to try and get it across the plane. And I was diving, and this guy just flew in, the safety flew in like that and smashed me over the sideline. And I got up straight away, and they were like, oh, geez, he's tough. it hurt, but, you know, he was wearing pads and a helmet. Like, it winded me, but I didn't want them to think that I was like, you know, that it hurt me. So, but yeah, it's pretty solid over there. Some big hits. It probably hurts more, obviously, because if you don't wear pads on your arms, like pretty much it's only your shoulders, your chest, and you wear a back plate and your helmet. So, like, if you cop a helmet or your shoulders to your arms, that actually kills. But, like, the force of it all is pretty, you know, pretty similar with some of the boys here put on big shots.
Is there one skill that you could take from NFL and say it's made you a better player today, like even just on-field or off-field?
Yeah, well, one thing I've always said when I came back, it's more so, like, mentally it's made me prepare better for games. Like, seeing the way those guys, because it's such a cutthroat sport, like, you know, the moment you kind of a little bit injured or even crook or you don't know a player, you're pretty much out the door and you're gone and you're never probably seen again unless you get picked up by another team. So the way they prepare and look after their bodies and you know, really knuckle down on what they need to do was you know, eye-opening for me. I've always kind of been a relaxed person and go into games pretty, you know, relaxed when I was, you know, younger at Sharks and that. And that's something I brought back with me, is to try and, you know, tick all the boxes leading into games, like making sure I'm, you know, mentally and physically prepared.
There it is. How good. Well, mate, obviously, you're very humble compared to what you've achieved so far, but we just want to really thank you for your time honestly, it's been fascinating to hear your story, especially that crossover to the NFL. So we want to wish you all the best, and hopefully you can have another premiership to look forward to.
Cheers, Val. Appreciate it, brother.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Nesian Footy with Sam and T.
It's that time of the show, T.
Nesian knowledge is back again.
Let's get it.
Nesian knowledge.
Sammy, are you ready?
Nah, I'm not. What's the score, though?
It is me 4.5, you 2.5. So you're
didn't
behind.
You lose more points for that question you got wrong about Carmichael?
Yeah, we took 0.5 away. Anyways, my first question. Do you remember the interview we had with your friend Peck Cohen?
Yes, I do. Vividly remember everything about it.
Word for word. Where is he from again?
He's from the Cook Islands.
So he mentioned two places he is from in the Cook Islands. My question to you is, where are those two places?
He's from Rarotonga.
Rarotonga?
Yeah, Raro.
That's one. It's a common theme, these interviews that you do and you don't listen.
Otatucky is the other one.
Otatucky.
Otatucky.
Hey, let's listen to the answers.
So the district is called Mataveta. That's where my grandfather is from. And my grandmother's actually from Otatucky, so another island of the Cook Islands, but a bit further away.
Great work, Sammy. Oh. You got 0.5.
I was probably more confident about Raro than I was Otatucky, just because Otatucky was the only one that I could remember, because it's a beautiful, have those beautiful villas, eh?
My next two, you either know them or you don't, so.
It's probably the latter.
Question number two. What is the currency of Papua New Guinea? We have A, Guinean pound. B, Papua New Guinean kina. C, Papua New Guinean dian. Or D, Guinean dollar.
Say that again.
Did you not write it down?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I was writing.
Wow, let me see your screen.
What is it?
Nah. Oh, wow. That's cheating.
What
that is
I
cheating. I've just seen you. Show me your laptop. Turn that around. Show me.
Yeah, look. It's on blank. What are you talking about?
You are such a cheat. You are a cheat.
What? It's on
blank.
You
know, I'm not giving you a point for that.
No, what were the options?
No, you know what it is now.
No, I don't. I didn't even see it. The Safari took too long to load.
A, Guinean pound. B, Papua New Guinean kina. C, Papua New Guinean dian. Or D, Guinean dollar.
Safari, the Wi-Fi was slow. It's a cheat.
Yes.
The pound.
No, Guinean pound is incorrect. It is Papua New Guinean kina.
Oh.
So, I heard you're a great speller.
Oh, no, you can't. This is my only childhood trauma.
I know you shared some stories, but I can't change it. I won't do a smiley one next one.
Yeah.
The word is phlegm. You know when you cough?
Yep.
And you cough up phlegm? Spell the word phlegm.
P-H-L-E-M.
P-H-L-E-M. Is absolutely incorrect. It's wrong.
I'm not a speller. I've got thanks for bringing up my.
Do you want another try at it?
Nah, I'm good.
Give another try. Another try.
I'm not a speller. I'm done.
Anyways, it is P. Wait, listen to this. P H L E G M.
Oh, there we go. Do you know what? I'm just happy that I didn't spell it with an F. So that's how good I'm going.
And you should be happy you come out with a 0.5. All right, everyone. Thank you again for joining us here on Nesian Footy. We're looking forward to seeing you next week. Ka kite.
See you later. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.